Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One of my favorite and finest moments ever in my entire radio career is Kurt Warner telling me that I was better and better at pitching pork rinds than he is. Also, having him on the show in October is one of the highlights of this football season. We hope, I hope, that we can do it at least once a football season, and that will be kind of my claim to fame, is that I made Kurt Warner laugh and I stole some money from his pocket. As if he even noticed. For those of you who heard that interview here on the show, I know many of you enjoyed it. It was so much fun. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Speaking of interviews, I am so, so glad that you enjoyed the conversation with Clay Matthews Jr. as much as we did. So much traffic on social media. A lot of you told us that you adored his humor and his stories and the fact that he's a big family guy and he just has a lifelong love affair with the NFL. Before he played, after he played, he's such a big fan of the Browns still and really enjoyed their postseason victory over the Steelers. If you missed it, the link is on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. His family was really happy with the interview, which made me happy. And so I'm thrilled that we were able to be a part of telling his story as he awaits notification as to whether or not he's made the final five to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2021. And I will admit that I've been praying for him to get in. And a lot of you Browns fans have gone and you voted on the Hall of Fame website because there is a fan component of the vote as well. And those selections should be announced sometime in the next week or two. But he was so much fun and really unassuming. The humility and the humor, the fact that he was so open with his emotions, being overwhelmed by all the testimonials that have been given on his behalf. And a lot of the testimonials from great coaches and players, Hall of Famers, some of them, including his brother, who's in the Hall of Fame, some of them played against him, and yet they still say he's one of the greatest. And talk about a really cool way to know how much you are appreciated. And it's his daughter who's running the campaign, so it's not like he's asking for this. She's doing it all on his behalf. And I would just be so excited if he got the word from David Baker of the Hall coming up next week. So we were excited to have him on the show, and I'm glad that you really enjoyed it. If you want to share it, it's out there on social, and we would love for more people to hear his story. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. On Twitter, on Facebook, your reaction to the James Harden trade to Brooklyn. It's been a great run of regular seasons for James Harden. He's won an MVP. He's been close to winning a second MVP. Between him and Kevin Durant, they have 7 of the last 11 NBA scoring titles to start this season. These guys are productive, at least on one end of the court. But here's the problem. Harden himself has never been enough to lift a team to a championship. The Rockets have kept bumping into that same glass ceiling. Now, the West is difficult. It's challenging. And how many times did they run into the Warriors? And then this year, running into the Lakers. But let's be honest, that Rockets team wasn't good enough. And by adding Russell Westbrook into the mix last season at the expense of Chris Paul, they got worse. But here's the crazy part. That's what James Harden wanted. He wanted Russell Westbrook, so he got Russell Westbrook. The team, Daryl Morey, who at the time was the GM, the team kowtowed. The team gave him what he wanted to try to keep him happy, including a huge deal. But as soon as he wasn't happy, everybody paid the price, and he wasn't going to rest or be in shape or play his best basketball until he got out of town. I like what Warriors coach Steve Kerr said locally in San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. It's good to get James Harden to the East. A lot of the dominant NBA players have been in the West for whatever reason, and it's good to balance it out. So yes, James Harden is a three-time scoring champ. He's not a three-time defensive player of the year or all defensive team. But if Kyrie decides to come back and play with James Harden, with Kevin Durant, if they can work out the rotation, if they can figure out how to share the basketball, if they can figure out how to take a different role on some night, maybe when one guy has the hot hand or another, I would agree with Rip Hamilton that this is still KD first. He's still the best option. He had 26 points on Wednesday evening as the Nets beat the Knicks, and he's averaging nearly 30 points through the first 9 games of the season. Remember, he's just back from that surgery to repair the torn Achilles tendon that he suffered in the 19 NBA Finals. Kyrie, he was averaging better than 27 points per game before he went AWOL from the team last week. So what's your reaction? Not only to the Nets building their super team again, it's not the first time they've tried, but to what James Harden left behind in Houston. A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. LeBron found out on Wednesday at some point as well. And of course, these guys are either playing games or getting ready for games, trying to do their own thing.
The trades and things happen every year. And, you know, for me, you know, my main focus on what we do here and how we continue to get better. And that was the case today. You know, the trades happened today, and I couldn't allow myself to kind of indulge in that, knowing that we had a team that we had to play tonight. So my main focus today was on the Thunder.
So in other words, he's not giving you anything. Really, neither was Kevin Durant. Steve Nash, same thing. In fact, Steve Nash has been asked more about Kyrie Irving's status until just recently, and having to deal with the fact that his star point guard has disappeared with no notice to the team.
I haven't had an opportunity to know any new details about Kyrie's situation. So, you know, I'll just rely on you know, the front office to learn more as we go, and you know, they're the ones I think that are going to do the messaging on that front.
How freaking humiliating for a head coach to have to admit over and over that you have no idea where your star point guard is. I appreciate how diplomatic Steve Nash is about it. I haven't had the opportunity to get any new details about Kyrie. Well, in case you're wondering, he was on a Zoom call for something with Cynthia Nixon on Tuesday when your team was playing, and he went to a birthday party at a club for his sister who turned 30. Now, I have no problem with people celebrating birthday parties with their families. Please do not mistake me. I spent Christmas with my family, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything, not even a 2-week quarantine. So I understand people need time with their families. I do not begrudge these guys that. When George Hill said on Tuesday night that he's a grown man, if he wants to go see his family, he's going to go see his family, I say absolutely. Mental health, time with family, time with people that you care about, that's about the only thing that is getting me through this pandemic and being isolated, is knowing that every now and then I get an evening with a friend or I get to see my family. So I do not begrudge these guys time with their families. The problem is he went AWOL from his team without telling them why, but he's popping up on this video and popping up on that Zoom call. And his own coach has no details. I'm not kidding you. This is Steve Nash, a two-time NBA MVP at the same position. It's got to be humiliating for him. Now, this is the coach that theoretically KD and Kyrie signed off on. They handpicked. But don't you remember, not long after he was hired, they did their own podcast about how any guy could coach the team on any given night? If Steve Nash hasn't been humiliated enough, this ought to do it. And now throw James Harden into the mix. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So here are some of the details. I'm not going to go through all of them. They're complicated. It's a four-team trade. The Nets sent Houston a package of multiple players and draft picks. The premier player that left Brooklyn is Caris LeVert, but he was then flipped to the Pacers for Victor Oladipo. Okay, so those two guys were essentially flipped in a straight-up deal. There were some picks in there, but center Jared Allen, who's the rim protector that we were talking about last hour, he goes from Brooklyn to Cleveland. The Houston Rockets get Dante Exum from Cleveland and another Brooklyn forward. And then here, I'm just going to read you the draft picks because this is cray. Houston gets Brooklyn's three unprotected first-round draft picks in 22, 24, 26. They do pick swaps in 21, 23, 25, and 27. What? The Rockets also get Cleveland's 22 first-round pick. And Houston's sending a 23 second-round pick to the Pacers. It's just, it's insane. I'm glad I don't have to keep track of that. So they pick up some picks, but they give up a bunch of picks. They do pick swaps where you don't actually know what the picks are going to be until much farther down the road. You're kind of rolling the dice there. So it's complicated. I don't believe that the Rockets got as much as they could have or should have for James Harden. But then again, everybody in the league knew he wanted out. And so, of course, the asking price was way too high when they were essentially backed up against a wall. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Bill Ryder, who's an NBA insider, also a host here on CBS Sports Radio, he weighed in on the James Harden trade.
I think that the Rockets did a very nice job under the circumstances. I think the Pacers did a nice job, but obviously the big winner is the Brooklyn Nets. At a minimum, there are no more excuses. They are the most talented team in the NBA. And when you look at what their starting five will be, I mean, just the top three players in that team, probably in this order of Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, presuming he comes back and actually starts playing for the Nets again, that's a mind-boggling amount of talent, and it's going to be fascinating, to say the least, how it meshes and perhaps ultimately succeeds or fails in Brooklyn.
Interesting that Bill Ryder believes they are the most talented team in the NBA, because I'm not sure I agree with that. On paper, I suppose you could hold up their talent if you're just talking offense, okay? So clearly, we're just talking offense here. We're not talking defense, because James Harden doesn't play defense unless he really wants to, and he rarely wants to. But how are they more talented than, say, the Lakers, who already have a championship to prove it? And hear me out. I know Klay Thompson's not playing this year, but if it's me, this is just me. I still take Steph Curry, who's on a tear right now, Klay Thompson and Draymond Green over Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. Because a couple of things. Steph Curry can score with anyone. He can score with KD. He can score with James Harden. Draymond Green, while sometimes he doesn't score and fails to score, he is a guy who does everything else. He rebounds, he plays defense, he distributes. He can easily record a triple-double. Klay Thompson is one of the best two-way guards in the NBA, and I do believe he'll come back healthy. I'm not sure if you've seen the video, but he's already walking without crutches, thankfully. And so I don't know that I say that they're most talented in the NBA, especially when we haven't seen them play together yet. Producer Dave has been chomping at the bit to weigh in here. So, Dave, what do you think about this trade?
So, for the Nets, from their perspective, I really don't like it. I think they made it for a different reason than everyone's kind of talking about. I think they made it because they have a sense, or maybe they already know and they're not telling anybody, that Kyrie Irving is actually not going to come back this season. I know I'm making a huge leap, and it also makes me shake my head as you
are currently. How much money is he making this year?
A lot.
$34 million.
A lot.
Dollars.
It actually drives me up a wall, but that's a different conversation. I think that the depth that we've talked about, while already losing Spencer Dinwiddie for the season, then trading away LeVert and Jared Allen, who Bob Huesler talked about earlier, is a great rim protector. I think when you already have Dinwiddie out and then lose that extra depth, it reminds me of when Miami got together with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. But this team is not going to be as cohesive as that team. And that team had a depth problem as well. They won because LeBron James was the best player in the world and Dwayne Wade was willing to take a back seat. Even if Kyrie Irving does come back, the third player in a trio like this is usually the most important. They're usually the X factor. And I know that sounds silly if they're the third best player or whatever, but he has to be willing to buy in. And that's the term we keep using, right? Buy in. And I don't think he's going to do that even if he does come
back.
Or
Steve Nash.
And it's really hard to be Steve Nash in his first season here.
Oh my gosh.
Taking all the bullets for this and answering all the questions. And that's what angers you so much about Kyrie Irving, just leaving every single teammate and his coach out to dry.
And this is the third time he's done it. I mean, it's not like we don't have a pattern of behavior. Also, can I tell you who else I feel really bad for? Joe Harris. He's a budding three-point specialist. The guy can score like nobody's business when he gets hot. He's averaging about 15 points per game and certainly takes on a greater role when Kyrie is AWOL. But how is he ever going to shoot the basketball?
No, he's not.
He's going to turn into a Kyle Korver, meaning like you stand in one spot and you wait until the ball comes to you. Like, oh.
Agreed. And that same Miami team had guys like that. The Mike Millers and the James Joneses who just stood there and waited for the ball. You shoot it when we tell you you can shoot it, and that's it. Because if all three of those guys are healthy and on the floor at the same time, nobody else is taking shots. I mean, you remember, I keep bringing up this Miami team, but there were games where they scored 85% of their points on a given night when they were playing well. And that's what this team is going to be like. They're putting all their eggs in their basket for this year and maybe the next year. I don't love it because the guys that were that depth, they all filled such a very important and specific role in LeVert getting better every year. And Jared Allen just plays a role that there's not a lot of guys in the NBA that do that anymore. And I think it's going to be tough. And lastly, I think that talent-wise, I think the Lakers are a more talented roster.
All right. Interesting. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, theories about how this is going to play out in Brooklyn. We're going to continue to collect your reaction. So what do you think? Let's do an executive decision here. We have a conversation with former Alabama National Championship quarterback Jay Barker that we could share with you next, or we can continue with this discussion because we do have people on the phones and lots of reaction on social media. Dave, what do you think?
I guess let's keep the James Harden train going.
All right, so let's do that because there are people on the phones, and I know you guys don't want to hold for hours and hours, nor do I want you to. And I'm not kidding, dozens of comments on our social media as well that I want to get to because I think it's an interesting variety. And so we'll get to that. And if you want to call us, you can do your phone calls, 855-212-4227. Also vote for our TD of the week because we haven't yet crowned the winner. I knew it was going to be a lightning rod, and I guess if nothing else, at least people are talking about the NBA for that reason. Poor NHL. Welcome back, hockey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Me personally, I don't feel betrayed at all. My interest in playing with John Wall, to be brutally honest. And with that being said, the disrespect started way before, you know, any interview. Just the approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. So this isn't something that, you know, all of a sudden happened, you know, last night. But with that being said, like I said, this is the nasty part of the business. So it is what it is.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
When Boogie Cousins cites antics and the nasty part of the business, you know it's gone off the rails. And so there's a lot more happening behind the scenes in Houston than what we realize. But last night, John Wall was willing to respond on a Zoom call to James Harden saying, this situation is crazy, it can't be fixed. And now Boogie Cousins is coming to the defense of John Wall and standing with Wall and saying, hey, it's disrespectful. And it started long before Harden got here. What he was doing when he was supposed to be at training camp, the way he showed up, it certainly sounds like he's referring to him being out of shape. What he's been like since he's been here, not buying in, not being part of the team. Well, Harden got what he wanted. It sucks though, right? It reminds me of Antonio Brown. Act like a clown, disrespect the game and your teammates, and then eventually get what you want. Now, in Antonio Brown's case, he couldn't hold it together. I'm not saying that James Harden is the same type of a head case as is Antonio Brown, only that Harden played this to perfection. Originally, the Rockets were prepared to toe the line. We're not trading you. It's not good for us. We're going to do what's best for us as a business. But it became an untenable situation. With Antonio Brown, of course, he got what he wanted, which was the Raiders, but he couldn't hold it together long enough to even play one game with them. And then, of course, he was out of New England in, what was it, 11 days? Something crazy like that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Some of you are saying more athletes are going to start doing this. You're going to see more athletes end up disrespecting the team, essentially doing everything they can the wrong way to get themselves shipped out of town. Now, in the NFL, that's not possible. In the NFL, because someone suggested on Facebook that Deshaun Watson could do the same thing if he wanted to be traded out of town. It doesn't work that way. There are all kinds of clauses in an NFL contract where if you don't uphold your end of the bargain, or you engage in conduct detrimental to your contract or your team, that you can get A, fined, and B, benched, or have your pay docked. Contracts are not guaranteed, except for what's actually written into your contract as guaranteed money. And in the case of Deshaun Watson, let's not forget, his new contract extension has not kicked in yet. He's still playing on his rookie deal. So there's no way. This would cost Deshaun Watson a year in the prime of his career. And he's not this kind of a person. I have a lot more respect for Deshaun Watson and how hard he plays, even when it's in games that matter none. He had one of his best seasons this year, all for naught, essentially. 855-212-4227. Bill is in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing today, Amy?
Good.
I've listened to all your defensive callers. They need to take another look at this because as far as I'm concerned, they're going to be down 30, and it's going to be a lot of teams down 30. And I don't see the Nets getting used to playing from behind. Every time they go down the floor, they get to have just what they want. There's no such thing as nobody getting cold because the split is incredible. And the way you was talking about this trade, I thought I was in a chemistry class, the way you were explaining it. And you was like a chemistry teacher. So, to the Nets, the whole thing is a poop fest. As far as I'm concerned, when they get out of the East, I ain't going to disrespect Milwaukee and Boston and Philly, but when they get out of the East, I think LeBron and AD will probably be there, but... hey, guys, get used to being down 30. So you defensive players better take another look at this. You better be trying to find some offense. Thank you, Amy.
All right, Bill, I appreciate your phone call. So Bill's taking the perspective of it doesn't matter if the Nets don't play defense because they're going to be up 30 on everyone. I still say there's only one ball. So, yeah, you can have three incredible scorers, but they're not all shooting at the same time. Although, did you know that in a regulation-sized hoop, you can put three basketballs through at the same time? Now, they have to be like going straight through, but it is possible. Anyway, so there was an exercise that I saw at basketball camp once. It was kind of cool. You wouldn't actually believe the hoop is that big, but it's... okay, so when you think about the Nets, then, do you believe they are the best team in the East? Because I'm not even sure I'd go that far. Maybe on paper, but we haven't seen them play yet. We don't know if Kyrie's going to be around. His own coach has no idea what's happening. How is it that we can just assume they're the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference? The Celtics got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The Milwaukee Bucks had a record season and obviously didn't follow up on that. They really struggled in the bubble. The Miami Heat thrive. They have incredible chemistry, and I know they're going through some COVID protocol issues right now. But are we assuming that this team is elevated to the top of the East? And some people are not even stopping there. Some people are pointing to the Nets right now as the best team in the NBA, which I definitely do not agree with. Some of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Rob says, now that James Harden is out of Houston, Deshaun Watson is hoping he can also force his way out of town. I don't actually know if that's true or not. I think Deshaun's unhappy, but I don't necessarily think he wants to leave Houston. It's not, at least according to the reports, it's not gotten to that point yet where he's requested a trade. And if I'm the Texans, I'm like, I don't care. Request all you want. It's not happening. The teams have a lot more power than do the players in the NFL. Let's see. Another tweet. Roland, I believe that Houston will be better off long-term with no ball-stopping Harden and that the Nets will struggle to play together and play defense. But now all the Rockets need is Westbrook to bring it full circle with Durant, Harden, Green, and Harden from the OKC days. No, it's definitely not happening. Let's see. Another tweet. The Alabama football team went months without hugging their own family so COVID wouldn't slow them down. Now NBA players are talking about how they don't want to do restrictions while they're getting paid millions. Not all NBA players. That's not fair. There are some NBA players who are balking against the restrictions, and they find them kind of ludicrous. You go out there and you sweat against guys for 48 minutes. You're getting tested every single day, but you can't shake their hands after the fact. And I agree with the premise that George Hill made on Tuesday, which is, I'm a grown man. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. And maybe you don't like how he said it, but there's a mental health aspect to this too. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you get paid if for 6 months you don't get to see your family or hug your kids. Money only fixes so much. It's not a cure for mental health. It's not a way to make you feel less lonely. And so they're essentially supposed to stay in their rooms on the road. They're not allowed to have any visitors. It used to be that they could have a family member and a friend with them to come visit on the road. They're not supposed to have any types of visitors now. Not supposed to go out anywhere. I mean, it's I can understand why there are some grown men, some athletes who are pushing back against it. Hashim says on Twitter, so much drive and kick in the NBA, so much ISO, so many free throws, so many threes. Drama at the end is always fun, but in general, watching an NBA game is quite a task these days. And then CJ, when James Harden makes DeMarcus Cousins look like a Boy Scout, that's serious. That's what I'm saying. When Boogie Cousins is talking about the antics of some other player, you know there's a problem. All right, so find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, vote for the TD of the week. We haven't yet closed the balloting.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
end of the day, a lot of guys here want to compete at a high level. When the 1 through 15 guys all on the same page and they commit, they know their role, they know what they want to do, they know what they want to get out of this, that's the win, you all will be fine. But when you have certain guys in the mix that don't want to buy in all as one, it's going to be hard to do anything special or do anything good as a basketball team. I've been on those teams. My 11 years been in the league. I've been on a team like that my first 5 years where it was all about me, not about the team. And that hurts. And it brings everybody down. So when we can get all on the same page, we can be something good here. And we can't dwell down on it because it's only been 9 games. Like, come on, man. You want to jump off the cliff off of 9 games? There's a lot of basketball still to be played.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
There's no way Steve Nash could have possibly expected things to unfold the way that they are in his first month of his first season as an NBA head coach. Sure, it's probably flattering that he got his offer with all the money from Brooklyn, a team with two superstars at the time, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they were on board with it, and they signed off on the move, maybe because they felt like they could also persuade him of the right way to do things in Brooklyn. I'm not sure. But they made it very clear they felt like any one of them could be a head coach on any given day. That in and of itself is wacky. But then to have Kyrie go AWOL, Steve Nash continues to answer questions about where his point guard is and actually doesn't know because Kyrie hasn't bothered to tell anyone. I wonder if that includes KD. If you're KD who loves basketball and hates losing and you're coming back off this injury and this is supposed to be a bounce back year for you and a breakthrough season for the Nets, are you ticked off that KD's disappeared or that Kyrie's disappeared, or do you know where he is and you're just not telling everyone? That's obviously a rhetorical question, but I can't imagine that Kyrie didn't even tell his buddy KD where he is, or maybe KD doesn't actually care. I don't know. Maybe they just think, oh, that's Kyrie being Kyrie. This was what Kevin Durant said Tuesday about Kyrie Irving.
I won't speak on Kyrie. I'll let him do that for himself. So I'm sure you guys will see him soon whenever he comes back, and we support him 100% and pray for the best.
We support him 100%. If this is really a mental health break that is needed from Kyrie Irving, okay, who am I to say that someone is or is not in a good space mentally? But I will never understand how you could not inform your employer that you need some time away. There are such things as personal days. There are such things as vacation time. Now, you don't typically take it in the middle of your season if you're a pro athlete, but certainly we've had athletes who've stepped away from their teams because they're going through a divorce and because they're trying to navigate that with their kids. We've had athletes step away because family members are ill or because they need to take care of personal business. We've had athletes step away because they've gone through a traumatic experience or a loss, and they just need a break. I absolutely understand that, and I don't begrudge that to anyone. We have FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act. We've got personal days. I mean, there's no one on this planet right now, I hope, that would scoff at a human being needing time if their mental health is suffering. And if that's the case with Kyrie, okay. But that means you can't pick up your phone and send a text message to your bosses? No, it doesn't. Somewhere where you were celebrating your sister's 30th birthday, I bet you had that phone in your hand and could send a quick text. Hey, coach, sorry. I just needed to get away for my sister's birthday. Hope you don't mind. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. P.S. Even if you do mind, I'm still not coming back to the team for 5 games at least. Oh, 855-212-4227. Andy is in Cleveland. What do you think, Andy?
Well, you know, I'm kind of excited because I think the addition of Jared Allen is going to work out for the Cavs to get some youth in the key. Okay. I don't see it working out in a bad way at all. I mean, they got rid of some draft picks, but I think they were kind of, you know, farther down and you weren't going to get a right away star with them. So I only see this kind of working out for us.
Well, yes, I'm sure for Cleveland, it's a completely different perspective now, as it is now, for Houston now, or Brooklyn.
As far as Harden, you know, these guys get these egos. And you see it. Some of these guys gel and some of them don't. And we witnessed it firsthand here in Cleveland between Kyrie and LeBron. And, you know, sometimes the guys gel, sometimes they don't. And I think you just got to write. If you're going to have a super team, you got to have the right fit of personalities meshing. Otherwise, you're just going to have constant drama like you're seeing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even when the guys want to work together, it doesn't always mesh. So a good example would be James Harden wanting Russell Westbrook to play with him in Oklahoma City. Oh, sorry, in Houston, coming from Oklahoma City, and it didn't work. They wanted to have it work out. They wanted to challenge for a title, but it never did. And I think that is part of it's partly because they play the same position and do the same thing. And I just don't know how that works in Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving, who wants to do the same thing as James Harden does.
And the thing is the thing about Kyrie, I heard you talking about Kyrie. I always questioned him because he kind of had that, when we traded him, there was that whole thing between him and LeBron and LeBron. Mm-hmm. Apparently LeBron wanted to get rid of him, then he didn't. You know, I always questioned him on how badly he really wants it, you know?
I don't know that he loves basketball the same as many other players do. I'm not even sure it's Kyrie's top priority. I think we kind of see that play out pretty regularly.
No, I think that he's probably one of the guys that plays the game because, you know, what else does... If you can make that type of money doing it, what else does he really have that he can do to make that type of money?
Well, not that's to make that knows. Kind of money. You're right. What is it, $150 million he's made in his career? Yeah, interesting. All right, Andy. Well, I'm glad you like it for the Cleveland perspective.
Thank you, and I love the show.
All right, cool. Good to hear. Happy New Year to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Some of your comments, your responses on Facebook. Jason says the Nets, to give up so many picks, must have a win now mindset. Yeah, it's not all that different from what they did when they got Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett in. Now it's a different regime, and this particular ownership and front office is said they're very committed to winning. They paid Kyrie Irving and KD for all of last season and got very few games. It got none from Kevin Durant and got only a handful from Kyrie because he was injured. That's another issue, is can he even stay healthy through an entire season? And so they are willing to shell out the dough in order to put a team together, not to mention that once we get through the pandemic, they're going to want to put butts in the seats. And they have a beautiful arena in Brooklyn. It's gorgeous. It's only a few years old. It's very shiny. It's black and a lot of black and white and just a brilliant contrast. And so it's really eye-catching when you're in the arena. And so for them to want to put butts in the seats and to bring in the star power so that they can compete with the Knicks, who, while they're not a good team, always sell out at Madison Square Garden, which is considered the Mecca. I mean, they're going all in, but it could also blow up in their faces if Kyrie doesn't play again and gets paid $34 million to miss most of the season. Oy. Alex on Facebook, Kyrie did not want to be Robin for LeBron's Batman in Cleveland, but now he's Alfred for Harden and Durant. For those of you who don't know the Batman references, that may go over your head, but I think it's brilliant because I love Batman. Thank you so much for that post, Alex. Let's see. Anthony says, I lost interest in the NBA a long time ago. It's boring. DD on Facebook, don't let the door hit you where the sun don't shine. Now, that's not what it is. That's not the saying. I know I frequently get my cliches wrong, but are you trolling me? Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That is how you're supposed to say it. Dave on Facebook, now he's going to hog the ball. Let's see if Durant gets along with him. Yeah, Durant's got to be the number one guy there. Absolutely no way that James Harden, first of all, he's out of shape, so he needs to get in shape. Second of all, Kevin Durant has worked his rear end off to get back in shape, and he's playing extremely well, and he's a better player overall than James Harden. James Harden is an incredible scorer, but he's not a great two-way player. And definitely not when he's out of shape is he able to play defense, really, or commit to defense. But Kevin Durant is never out of shape. I don't even think his pinky is out of shape. And he's going to be a guy who can go up and down the court, and he is the number one option, even if no one else wants to recognize it. But I don't know how that can be a surprise. Let's see. Curtis says, the Nets got Harden for a bag of potato chips and a handful of change. I mean, there's some draft picks in there, but they definitely didn't have to give up as much to Houston as what you would have expected for a guy who's won an MVP and multiple scoring titles. Some of you are asking me if Russell Westbrook is really with Washington. Did I mess that up? He is with Washington, is he not? Isn't he the reason that John Wall is in Houston? Okay. Do you just not know that? I don't. It was a weird NBA offseason. I will give you that. But I know I didn't get that wrong. Russell didn't end up going somewhere else, did he?
Nope. They were traded for each other, John Wall and Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Mike says, I believe Harden is weak for doing his team dirty. They gave him everything. He wanted certain players. He got it. Seems like Harden is toxic for any team he plays for due to his attitude. You know, I don't think that's the case. It's become that way in the last few months. He's become really disgruntled. But he was all in with Houston, and he believed that Houston was a championship contender. I don't think he's always been a cancer or disrespectful. He just doesn't like what Houston has done and doesn't like the new head coach and didn't like the trade and didn't like the fact that Houston wouldn't trade him out when he wanted to go. So he threw his weight around, and he finally got his way out of town.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.